Okay, so Be'ezra Hashem, with the help of the Master of the World, we're going to attempt to warm up spiritually and to try to balance out the frigid Yerushalayim weather outside, Baruch Hashem, with the much-needed rain that we're very grateful for. To try to connect ourselves to the inner dimension of Parshas Va'era by way of exploring a few teachings from the Hasidic Masters with the help of Hashem. Let's begin with the Me'ashi Loach, Volume 1, on the Pasuk that with which the Parsha begins, Vayidaber Lukim al Moshe. Hashem spoke to Moshe, Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. There doesn't seem to be much content in that communication, and this whole Pasuk seems to be very strange. It could have just began with what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to communicate to Moshe. What is this Pasuk, Vayidaber Elukim al Moshe? Elukim is obviously a different name and a different title for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Yudke Vavke. Elukim is always Midas Hadin, as we'll see. He spoke to Moshe, and then Vayomer, which is a different form of speech, as opposed to Dibor, is Amira. A love to him, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. What is the deeper meaning of this Pasuk? An unbelievable thing the Me'ashiloach tells us. In the previous parasha, in the last few psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Hashem and he says, I really don't understand what you're doing here. You send me to redeem the Jewish nation, you send me to Paro and demand from him that they should let my people go. And what happens? Paro makes it far worse. If before they were providing all of the material necessary to make bricks, they were providing them bricks, now they had to go out to the field and find straw and somehow turn that into the bricks that they then had to carry and schlep and to build and to construct these gigantic cities. Lama hari osa la'amazeh, v'lamazeh shlachtani, Moshe says. Why are you acting harshly and acting unjustly with this nation? V'lamazeh shlachtani, why do you send me? To make it worse? What's this business, God? Obviously, in the moment of passion, the Gemara already says that when a person is in pain, so he's not taken to task for the words that he says, because we're humans and we're allowed to express our angst and our anxiety and our feelings of our hurtful feelings. But still, nonetheless, we find that Moshe was punished for this. Because Rashi speaks on the words Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe. Elokim, like we mentioned, is Midas Hadin, which is a reference to a certain harshness. Dibor, as opposed to Amira, is always a harsh way of speaking. Even like the words themselves, like Dibor is like far more hard than Amira. It's like Amira is like far more soft in a certain way. The letters even are softer. Amira, Chazal tells us, is Lashon Raka, is a soft way of speaking. Dibor is harsh words. So when you put Vayidaber and Elokim together, Elokim being Midas Hadin, that means that there's some form of Musar being given. There's some form of castigation and some form of Musar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting Moshe straight and putting him in his place. So again, this comes on the heels of Moshe speaking words that might have been inappropriate or improper to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lama hari osa? Why are you acting unjustly? What does that mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly what he's doing. What does this mean that a human being comes to challenge God? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's just out of place. And so in response, HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins the next parasha with Vayedaber, which is a harsh way of speaking, Lashon Kasha, Elokim Midas Hadin, El Moshe, speaking to Moshe. That's what Rashi says. So the Me'ashi Loach follows Rashi's lead. Acha Shadiber Moshe Rabbeinu Dvarav Neged Hashem Yisbarach. After Moshe went ahead and he spoke words that were Neged Hashem Yisbarach, that spoke words that were Neged, that were against the Master of the World, in the sense of saying something that was inappropriate. Im kein, nasan Hashem Yisbarach ga'ara alav. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, attacked him. Again, you know, not physically, but in this verbal sense, to come ahead and to speak in a way that is dibor, that is kasha, with the midas adin, with Elokim, ga'ara alav. Zeloshin, this is what Rashi points out, like we described and explained. Vayidaber, shuloshin kasha. Dibor is always a form of speech that is a little bit harsh, that is difficult, like we expressed even in the words themselves. Da, ber, it's strong, it's forceful. And Gam Hashem Elokim Mora Alzeh. The shame Elokim, Elokim meaning Minas Hadin, is also hinting to this harsh form of speaking. Thanks for coming. To this harsh form of speaking. Ach Tekef, but here the Me'ashi Loach departs from Rashi's small little comment. And he takes us into the next part of the Pasuk, where there's a whole set of words that Rashi does not address, which is Vayomer Elav, Amira, like we described, as Lashon Raka, which is soft, Ani Hashem, I am Yudke Vavke. Yudke Vavke is the Midah of Chesed always, which is in contrast to the harshness and the forcefulness and the judgment of Elokim. What's the message? Says the Me'ashi Loach, an incredible thing. Ach Tekef, immediately after addressing Moshe in this harsh way, with Midas Hadin, putting him in his place, scaring him a little bit, Nasan Ga'ara Allah, like he's attacking him verbally. Immediately in the same breath, Ach Tekef, Vayomer Elav, he speaks to him in this form of soft speech, consoling speech, comforting speech. And he gives a mashal, Zehu ka'adam shekoes al chaveiro. A person who's really angry at his friend. His friend does something inappropriate. It's easier in the parent-child context to think of such a thing where a kid runs into the street and he does something that necessitates a very harsh response for the child's own good. Shekoes al chaveiro. And the parent has to put on the mask of anger, of really being angry, really angry, like the kid does something really inappropriate, really wrong. But vohavo, but he loves that child. But he loves the friend who he's relating to. When a parent sees the result of his harsh way of relating to the child, of setting the kid straight, and the kid is shaking in his boots, proverbially, but the kid is overwhelmed, could be even starts to cry. And on a certain deep level, there's this feeling of, you're my parent. You're supposed to love me. You're supposed to be kind to me. What is this that all of a sudden you turned on me? It's like, it's a tremendous abandonment in this moment of feeling a separateness and a strangeness. Like, who are you? Like, what just happened here? When he sees that his friend, or in our mashal with the child, is standing there shaking. In that moment, if it's a good parent, if it's a healthy parent and a healthy relationship, and the parent didn't really lose himself, which sometimes happens often, you know, but over here, we're talking about in a healthy way. So immediately, merame is low, the parent will hint to the child, ki kol kaso eino rak lefnim, that all of the anger is just, it's only a mask. It's only, not lefnim, or lepanim rather. Right? Lepanim means on the surface. And immediately the parent runs over and gives the kid a hug. Then in the same moment, we have to know how small docha, that the left hand pushes away, but at the same time, yamin, the Gemara says, mekarev. It's at the very same moment. That's what a real Rebbe is. He's able to set a person straight and to give a person the musa that he needs, but at the same time, you know that you could perceive the deeper element of the relationship, which is A, unconditional, B, full of love, and full of concern and full of comfort. That's how it's supposed to be with any authoritative figure. That it shouldn't be this dictatorial sort of harshness all the time, pushing away with both hands. That never works. That doesn't accomplish anything. Rav Matisyahu Salomon once said, I heard in his name at least, but it's fitting, you know, that it makes sense that he would say such a thing. On that Gemara that we just mentioned, that the Gemara says that a teacher's left hand should be pushing away, but his right hand should always be pulling close. Rav Matisyahu Salomon says that if you have a person who's standing backward, facing away from you, and you push the left side of his back with your left hand, and at the same time you pull with your right hand, so you turn him around. That's how you turn people around. With the left hand pushing away, guiding, but at the same time the right hand is pulling close, and that's the way that we transform people. When we always, always, always manage to communicate to them within that moment of anger, I still love you. You know, like a slap on one cheek and a kiss on the other cheek. This relationship. And that's the meaning of this pasuk. That first HaKadosh Baruch Hu seems to come at Moshe like attacking him by Yadabar Elokim. He has to set Moshe straight. But then immediately Vayomer Elav, he's whispering to him, Ani Hashem. That there's a level of our relationship that goes beyond anything and any action and any mistake and any failure. Ki Amira Lashon Raka, like we described, Amira always is hinting to a very soft manner of speaking. Hainu Shalachashlo, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu whispers to him. That the deepest secret of life is, and that's what whispering is. Whispering is always a secret, right? When you don't want somebody else to hear, so what do? You whisper to him. You whisper to him. Whispering also connotes closeness. I can't whisper to a person and be a mile away from him. I have to come very close to his ear and whisper to him. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this moment whispers ba'amira, which is Lashon Racha. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Amira is belechishos, whispering, she'ina bekas chas v'shalom. That intrinsically, inherently is not angry at him. He has to demonstrate anger, to set him straight, to guide him properly. Small doche. But the truth is, ain't rak lepanim, it's a mask. V'zeu inin ani Hashem. And that's why he then relates to him and reveals to him this name of Yudke Vavke, Kishem Havaya Baruch Hu, this essential name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Humali Rachamim, is filled with mercy from beginning to end. Haya, hove, v'yia. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chesed, olam chesed ibanim, because he wants to do good to us. He wants to give us the best life in this world and the next world. He knows objectively what the proper way to live is. It's just chesed, ak v'rak. Any gvura that we think, ki gavar aleinu, anything that we perceive to be gvura, is chazdo. Ki gavar aleinu chazdo. Yeah, there's got to be some midas hadin. There has to be gvura, things that we're uncomfortable with, restrictions and guidelines and things that may seem to be out of place with our perception of what morality should look like in a subjective sense. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mali rachamim. It's mali rachamim. And here he, like, so to speak, paraphrases, like he puts words in God's mouth. This ga'ara, this anger, this attack, was only on the surface. And don't be afraid and don't be worried. The Me'ah Shelach doesn't say it straight out, but I think that there's a diuk to be made on a word that he did not relate to in the pasuk. So far, the Me'ah Shelach covered Vayedaber, which is Lashon Kasha, Elokim Midas Hadin, and then Vayomer is a Lashon Racha, soft, and Ani Hashem. But there's one shinui, there's one change between the first half of the pasuk and the second half of the pasuk that the Me'ah Shelach did not seem to address, which is the change between Moshe, El Moshe, to Elav. That's another change that the Me'ah Shelach didn't seem to address. But I think that we can explain based on his hakdama and foundational concept that we have to walk with all the time. That I bless you and me, that constantly we should be able to feel within the distance. And within that feeling of being numb to spirituality, being far from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and being unclear, we should be able to perceive the whisper that underlies that all that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us all the time. Emor lanaf sheikh, a Kadosh Baruch Hu whispers to the Jew's soul, Yeshua seichani, I'm your salvation, I love you, I'm with you, I'm together with you, I haven't forsaken you. With every breath that we take, every breath that we breathe in, God is breathing out kaviyachal. He's giving us life consciously every moment. So I think that we're able, yeah, thanks for holding on with me all the way from the beginning of that very lengthy bracha. But I think that based on that akdama, it's very possible to explain the sheen or the change between El Moshe and Elav. On one level, the person's name contains the person's talents, abilities, the person's mission in the world, which is why Rabbi Nachman explains, and the other tzaddikim give other explanations as well. But one of the reasons that we change a person's name when a person is on their deathbed, we add a name, Rabbi Nachman explains, is because the name of the person contains the mission. And if the person's mission was exhausted with the name that they had, we add on another name, so to speak, to give them another mission, to give them a new life, to give them a new purpose that they should survive and they should abide within the world. So on one level, the name of the person does reference a very deep core identity that they have, which is why the Noam of the Melech also describes that you could scream sometimes, like really heavy sleepers, you could scream and make noise and bang on pots and it doesn't work, but if you just whisper their name in their ear, they're up in a second. The Noam of the Melech says this. The third generation of Hasidus, the Noam of the Melech says that the reason is because when you say someone's name, you're addressing a very core part of their being. Still, however, the Rambam says that one level of tshuva, to really disconnect from the past, is shinui shem. It's to change a person's name. The Rambam doesn't mean to say that you become not you. Tshuva means to return not only to God, but to your deepest essence. We find that there's a level of being that transcends the name, that transcends the actions that are associated with the name. Shinui shem. You got to change your name and return to the real you, which is even beyond that. So I think that could also be represented and referenced perhaps in the pasuk that on the level of Moshe, he did something wrong. So by Yadaber Elokim, he's addressing the wrongdoing of whom? Of Moshe on the level of his externality. And therefore, there's an external show of anger, which is addressing an external action that Moshe does. But then Vayomer, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealing the deeper element beyond the mask, Vayomer, who does he speak to? Elav. Elav is beyond the name. Elav is reaching that core identity, the deepest, deepest element, right? The inner child, and that essential identity that we have that's beyond anything we may have done, we may have not done, any mistakes that we may have made. Vayomer Elav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu addresses us on that level. Ani Hashem. Okay, that's source number one. We could close up shop and go home. You could live with this for your whole life. You know, how many times do we read this pasuk in our life? And what does it mean? Okay, but one of those psukim, you know, like a filler pasuk. No, it's the deepest thing in the world. It's the deepest message that we need to take with us, particularly in our generation, when so much we perceive echoing within our consciousness, Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe, all the time. Vayedaber, we feel like God is angry at us. Like God. But then we need to be able to perceive this amir of lechisha, this whisper, Vayomer Elav, this essential communication, Ani Hashem. Let's take a look. It's somewhat similar, but let's take a look at the Kedushas Levi. Veloishas liba gam lezais, a reference to Paro, that after Makas Dam, after the first Maka, where all of the water of Egypt, the Nile, which they were completely dependent on societally, historically, and all of the private water, all of their water supply turned to blood. We can't imagine what kind of terrible plague that is. Can you imagine being thirsty as like the third, you wake up in the middle of the night sometimes, and the heat is on in the room, and you're thirsty as anything, and all there is to drink is blood? It's pretty bad. It's a bad scene. It's not enjoyable at all, you know, to think about that, and to go for many days and months and years in such a state. Terrible plague.
How long did it go on for?
It did not go on for many months and years, as I was saying that. But it could have, right? It could have. It lasted a few days, but it could have.
A few days is bad
enough. But Paro didn't pay any attention to this because he saw that with what water supply, Rashi tells us that they had purchased from the Jews, because the Jews did have water, the Chatumim, their black magicians, were able to go ahead and to turn the water into blood. And he said somehow, because of that, it didn't impact him in any way. And he did not change with regard to his opinion on the Jewish issue and the Jewish problem of that time. Says the Kedusha Slevi, a deeper meaning. He says, we can understand in accordance with the way that our sages viewed the Pasuk, Bizos Yavo Aaron Aaron Ela Kodesh, that Aaron should come Bizos with this Ela Kodesh. Says the Kedusha Slevi, something very deep. The word Bizos could mean a reference to this, to something. But it can also be a remes, romes, it can also be hinting and referring to Knesset Yisrael, which is the collective Jewish soul. The collective soul of the Jewish nation that is synonymous, as we've discussed so many times in this context and other shiurim, with the Shechina, which is God's presence in the world, that you and I are stained glass window panes in the gigantic, beautiful stained glass window that is the Jewish nation, and God's light is shining through this stained glass window to reach the world Arla Goyim, and that each and every member of the Jewish nation is a particular hue and a particular color through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's light is shining, that if it were to shine through every other piece of the puzzle wouldn't be complete without each of us. That is synonymous with Knesset Yisrael, which is our collective Jewish soul, where we're all one. Ve'ahavta l'reacha kamocha mamish, because we're one. And this is wrapped up in this word, zos, this, as opposed to zeh, zos. Without getting into the depth of the grammar of it, because we don't need to, we'll just refer to the first time that zos it shows up and appears in the Torah, which will be a proof text enough. But zeh is masculine. Zeh refers to something in a masculine way, and Zos is feminine. Zos is the feminine terminology of being able to say this when we refer to something that is associated with femininity, Zos. The first time the word Zos shows up in the Torah is a reference to Chava, that she was called Isha. Why? Ki mi ish lukacha Zos, because she was taken from the Ish. Klal Yisrael, Knesset Yisrael, the Shechina, which is itself a feminine word, right? Shechina, as opposed to Shochein, Shechina, the dwelling of, is connected with femininity, is connected with the latent and concealed and inward measure of godliness that is to be found, the Malikol Am, in filling all worlds, Malocha La'aretz Kavoda. God fills all of the worlds and all of existence. And this is related to the concept of femininity in terms of the inwardness, the soulfulness, the sensitivity that is often associated with woman and is also associated with the female nature that everybody has, right? Every person is a composite of male and female. We all have these two these two energies within us. And certain people, one side is raised, and certain people, the other side is raised. But Zos is Romez al Knesset Yisrael. Zos is female. The Shechina is the latent potential for godliness that's revealed through Knesset Yisrael to the Jewish nation, and therefore Zos is connected to the Shechina. Ube emes lama Zos Romez al Knesset Yisrael. Here, the Kedusha Slevi gives a less technical reason why Zos, which again appears in the first time of the Torah in the context of a female, but why Zos would reference the Knesset Yisrael, and he says like this: Ki be'emes in truth, kala olamos le'nivru, ela b'shvil Yisrael. One of the first Rashi's in the Torah tells us bereishis, which means in the beginning, but also means be with. Rashis, for the purpose of Rashis. What's Rashis? Klal Yisrael are called Rashis. The Torah called Rashis. The world was created Bishvil Yisrael. Kal Echad B'Echad. Every single person needs to say Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam. The world was created for me. Right? For each individual needs to say that the whole world was created for my avoda, that it was worth creating the whole entire world and history and setting up all the different nations. Rabbi Nachman in Sichas Zoran says that everything that exists in the world is only for the purpose of Emunah, to give us the ability to choose faith over doubt, over heresy. And Bishvili Nivra Olam, if you take the word Bishvili, you can split it up into two words itself. It could say Bishvil Yud, right? Which means for the sake of Yud. Yud could be Yehudi, right? So Bishvil Yud, Bishvili Nivra Olam. Bishvili Nivra Olam. That the world was created for Klal Yisrael. Heim Ha'ikr. They are the Ikr. They're the whole purpose for history. They're the whole purpose of all the nations of the world. They're the whole purpose of every societal hierarchy, is so that the Jews, it's all about the Jews, only ever about the Jews from the beginning of history until now, in every way of analyzing history, the Jews are at the forefront of everything all the time, from the beginning to end. How amazing it is that we're living in a state the size of New Jersey, and every single day in the news, when they can't stop talking about Israel. Currently, we're hosting 70 nations. There's got to be something happening. There's something spiritual is happening here. That the 70 nations of the world are coming together. That each of them represent. You know, they're bringing their sour. There's something happening in history. There's something happening in the world. It's amazing to watch and to experience. We're living in a wondrous generation. But Al Kalpanim, it's always about the Iker, HaGorim Libriyas HaOlam, that we caused the creation of the world in the first place, that the master of the world was Nimlach, Nishmasen Shel Tzadikim, that Hashem consulted, so to speak, with the souls of the Jewish nation before creating the world. It was Zeh Merom Is Knesses Yisrael, the Mila Zos. So he says in a very simple, colloquial sense, that's why Klai Yisrael are called Zos, because Zos means like this. Like, this is it. You know, this. You know, like sometimes on social media when somebody wants to like introduce something, they just like say this. You know, you ever saw such a thing? Like somebody wants to like refer to an article like this, like how we've developed in our expression from the beginning of time. Like we've come to 2020 and we say this. You know, it's like, it's pretty primitive. But Al Kalpanim, that's what we see even in a colloquial sense. Like this is how we communicate. This. Okay? This. Bizos. You know what the biggest this is? You know, we should all be posting to Facebook and Instagram all the time. It's the Jewish nation. This. This wondrous group of people. This wondrous society, after a Holocaust, after inquisitions, after pogroms, after that we've made it, we keep bouncing back with this courage and this stubbornness to hold on tight to the way the Jews always were, to the way the Jews always lived, to the way the Jews always studied and prayed. Wow, what courage. This, chavra, this is bezos. This is what it's about. Kolomar, zosia ikar v'hagorim. This is something to get excited about. This. Zeu haremez, and this is pshat on the pasuk in Devarim. The zos habracha sheberach Moshe, that it's the thisness, you know, to make up a word like the thisness of the Jewish nation. That's the cause of all bracha. Asher berach Moshe, the zos habracha sheberach Moshe. The kan she Moshe hera lepar v'yomer l'shiyisraelim ha'ikar. With this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demonstrating in the makos that it's really all about Klai Yisrael, and it's worth changing nature, and it's worth changing everything for the Jewish nation. But what does the pasuk say? Below shas libo gam lezos. Is that Paro wasn't just ignoring the Makkah. Paro was ignoring the premise of the Makkah, which is that the whole world was created for this nation that you're enslaving here. Don't start up. Even that he ignored. Deeper way of understanding the pasuk.
You think he's ignoring the essence of what Hashem created the world for?
Right, and the Israelis. Very premise, right, that the Makkah represents. So Amar Loshi Yisrael Meikro Paro LeRotzal Haman Zeh. Paro didn't want to believe this. Paro didn't want to focus on this. Vazeh Loishas Libay Gam Lozoy says that he's completely out of touch Gam Lozos with this. We only have a few minutes left. The Naam of the Melech will take us more time than we have. So let's just go to number 4 and let's finish up with a very brief, concise, but very insightful piece from the Dagon Achanim Efraim. The pasuk says, "Oyem Rashu Garuba." Garu means to dwell. Ba means within it. Says the Dagon Achanim Efraim, something so deep. The way that these tzaddikim looked at the Torah is just not to be believed, because they believed that it was divine, because they believed that there's something to find there. If we believe that it's just a historical text, we're not sitting and analyzing every word, every letter. But when you believe that it's literally synonymous with God, that the Gemara in Shabbat says, "Ana nafshi ksavis yaves," I, God, wrote down my soul and gave it to you. This is God. So then every nekuda, every extra letter, every lack of a letter, every change in trup in the way that we read the Torah, every gematria, in every aspect, the Torah is just bursting with meaning. It's incredible. So look what he says. With this, we need a slight hakdama, which is, we referred earlier to the name Yudke Vavke, and it's being synonymous with the Midas HaChesed. But in addition to being synonymous with the Midas HaChesed, the name Yudke Vavke is referred to as Shem HaEtzem, which is the essential name of God. There are many names of God, right? Kel Shakai is a name. Tzvakos is a name. Kel Elokim, like we described, is a name. Adni, right? Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is the name of God. God has many, many names. But the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is called the Shem HaEtzem. It is the essential name of God. It contains within it the entire structure of creation from the beginning, Tchilas Hatzilas, from how creation was when it was just Ein Sof, when all that was the infinite one, all the way down to what's called Nekudas HaMerkaz Shel HaOlam HaGashmi, to the most physical, corporeal element of the physical world, is all wrapped up into this name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Very briefly, Yud represents that place of Chachma Ilah, which is just wisdom, which is hidden within the mind, completely invisible, godliness on the level before creation, just as it was, sof maaseh b'machshava tchila, the blueprint in the mind of the architect, just before anything is actualized at all, yud. Hey is referring to the world of Bina, Bria, when there's Yesh Me'ayin. We have some tools, we can start gathering materials. The Vav represents that bridge, that gap between the ethereal world beyond, the transcendent element of God, all the way down into being, and then the Hay is our physical world. The Hay is the Olam Asiyah, is Malchus. Rav Ari Kaplan brings down in his foundational book, Inner Space, from the early Mikubalim, he brings down an amazing, amazing mashal, a parable, where he says that, in a certain sense, like we described before, Olam Chesed Yibana, that the whole world was founded on the premise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing good with us, is being kind to us. The whole world from beginning to end is Rachamim, right? The Torah begins with Gemilas Chasadim and ends with Gemilas Chasadim. The Maral says in Chodesh HaKadosh that anything that the beginning and end are identical, that means that the middle is part of that as well. From the beginning to the end, the Torah is Gemilas Chasadim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world, Minas Chesed, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries Moshe all the way at the end. From beginning to end, Chazal says Chesed, Chesed. The whole entire world, Haya, from the past all the way into Yiyeh Chesed Gamur. Therefore, he says theoretically, the whole premise for existence is God's giving to us. Is an act of tzedakah. Says an amazing thing. He says that when you have two individuals, one who's giving and one who's receiving, that's the act of Chesed, the act of tzedakah. He says, look at this. The giver takes a coin out of his pocket. He holds the coin in his hand. He then reaches across the expanse that separates between him and the recipient. The recipient opens his hand and he receives the coin. That's the act of giving. That's the process. Says Rav Ari Kaplan from the early Mikubalim, I can't remember right now who he quotes it from. The Yud in Yud Kei Vav Kei is the coin. That's what God would like to give. The first hey is Gematria 5, we have five fingers, is the hand of God, Kivyachal. Again, it's wrapped up within that world, like we described, of Bria, of Bina, in that transcendent space of godliness. Ain't so? That's God's hand. The Vav is the outstretched connector. All the time, Vav is a connector. Moshe Vi'aron, right? Shamayim Vi'aretz. It binds these two things together in a group. So the Vav connects the giver and receiver, and the final hey is the open hand of the recipient to receive. Yudkei Vavkei contains the entire model, the entire structure of existence from beginning until the end. It's the Shema Etzem. But unfortunately, something terrible happens, and with this we'll end. Something terrible happens when we stop seeing this world as being part of that structure. When we stop realizing that existence is being given to us every moment. And we think that it just is kacha, stam. And we live in a world that it seems to be and appears to be by virtue of our perception as being devoid of godliness in that moment. And that means that the actions that we take are actions without God, and they could be religious actions. A person could be learning without God, davening without God. Certainly, we're not going into things that are us or things that are against halacha without getting into that, but a person lives life in such a way that's without God consciousness, which is the simplest truth in the world, that existence is being given to us. We're not plugged into outlets. God is consciously giving us life every second to be aware of this. The Sfarim describes such a lifestyle as separating that last hey from the name Yud Kei Vav Kei. Because again, from Yud to Kei to Vav, it's all God. It's the coin that God wants to give. It's the hey, it's the hand of God, and it's the vav, it's the letter that transcends that space, but it's all God still. And when a person lives life out of touch with that reality, what happens in that moment? He's making a period, he's making a separation between that hey and Yud Kei Vav. That's a period between the Shechina, what's called, which is the imminent element of godliness, from the transcendent element. And he's cutting those two things off and becoming the connection, that vav, to become very obscured. There's a tiny story that's brought down in Preet Tzadik, in Reb Tzadik and Parshas Balak, also in Pesach, in different places. Very rare for Reb Tzadik to bring down stories in his Preet Tzadik. But he brings down this story that the famous two brothers, the Rebbe of Zush, the Rebbe of Meilach, were once walking out of a forest after a very, very long day of espodidus, of davening, of learning, of doing their yichudim and avodas in the forest. And they walked out. They had to daven. A wagon comes careening around the corner at a very high speed, hits a rock. The whole thing tips over, and a peasant jumps out. The wagon was carrying bundles and bundles and bales of hay. It's all over the floor. And he sees these two brothers walking out, and he says, "Hey, you guys mind helping me put the, you know, put the hay back onto the wagon?" And the Rebbe Meilich looks at his watch, his pocket watch, his clock, and he says, "We have no time. We have to run to mincha, guys. It's time for shkia already. Time for tzeis chasidim. It's time. We have to daven mincha. Kapanim. You know, it's amshinov. It's like next week already. You know, it's time to catch up." And the peasant gets angry at them, and he says to them, he says, "It's not that you can't put back the hay. It's that you don't even want to put back the hay." And the Rebbe Reb Zusha started to cry. Rebbe Meilich turned to him. He said to Reb Zusha, "What do you hear in this that's moving you to tears?" He says, "Can't you hear what the peasant is telling me? That's not a peasant speaking. That's God speaking. It's not that you can't put back the hay of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the last hay. You don't even care about it. You don't even want to put back the hay." And that touched a level of truth within Reb Zusha that moved him to tears. So there is this element of trying to serve a Kodesh Baruch L'shem Yichud Kod Shebrichu Shechinti, to become aware of God, to go through Yiddishkeit like a roboticism. It's anti-productive, right? The whole purpose is that we should make this world a bit more godly by virtue of our consciousness of that, to be connected, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In a doma, like we mentioned, the person who learns something 100 times to me'apamin ve'echad, like the Baal Shem Tov said, to someone who learns something 100 times, but it's ve'echad, it's with the master of the world. In a doma, it's a different world. It's yichud kod shebrichu shechinti. So let's, with this hakdama, look inside, and we'll finish with this. Oy yoy marasha garuba, deeper way of understanding these words garuba, which means again dwelled within, hainu sha'asu yichud vav imhe, that the very premise of Klal Yisrael's being is to make a yichud, a connection between the vav, which again is that transcendent element where godliness is trying to peak meitzitz menach harakim, to connect with this world, and hey, with this world itself. Ki adua again osios yud hey him train rein delom esparsh. That these letters, Yud He, which is Chachma and Bina, in that place of transcendent godliness, they never disconnect. Rak Vav Ke, but the next two letters, Pa'amim Chas V'Shalom B'Chet, when a person is living in a sinful way, Gorim Pirud B'nei, and this can cause for a separation. In one's own life, one is not a channel anymore for godliness. One is not a channel for godly revelation. V'hu Shemirameisha Avos HaKadoshim, and the Pasuk is trying, in relating to Klal Yisrael with the words Garuba, the Torah is trying to hint to us that Klal Yisrael's premise is to make a connection between the hay and the vav, to lift the hay back up, to put the hay back on the wagon. B'zeru, and this is pshat, garu ba can be seen as the words gar vav behay. That they cause the vav and the hay to be gar, to be neighbors, to dwell together, to come together. It's not just garu ba that they lived in these places. Gar vav behay. The premise of the Jewish nation is to bring together the vav and the hey. Zeru garu hainu gar vav ba hainu behe. And that's the deeper element and the deeper understanding of this pasuk. So I think that all of the pieces really bind together. Let's just review them very quickly. What we learned from the Mea Shiloach about this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is whispering to us intrinsically, inherently behind the mask all the time. Emr l'nafshi Yeshua Seichani, right? Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is whispering to us that He has an intrinsic and unconditional inherent bond with all of us. And this should give us the ability, not just that we have other people or tzaddikim speaking about Klal Yisrael, that the whole world was created for them. They are called Zos. They are called this. But we should feel that within ourselves. We are it. We are us, each and every individual, regardless of how much we may have failed and how much we may have fallen and how disconnected we may be. Every single member of Klal Yisrael calls them out, that they're connected to God, speaking to them, whispering in their ear, "I'm close with you, I love you, I'm together with you, I'm supporting you." So we have to feel that Zos, we are it, we are this. What's this? What's our premise? Garuba, Garvav, Behe, to bring these two letters together, to live lives of revelation of godliness, to be able to be the Shekhinah, like I described before, that stained glass window that enables God's light to shine through the world through each and every individual in a way that was completely, completely different than every other member of the Jewish nation, to make this world just a little bit more beautiful, just a little bit more conscious of the truth that binds us all, to enable for the fostering of unity, and for the fostering of an objective moral place where we can treat each other properly and respect each other, and to respect each other as Selam Elokim, just without any conversation, just at hello, you're a human being, right? That means that you're intrinsically valuable. to enable the world to become a brighter place, we need to constantly be conscious and focused that this is our mission. This is our mission statement. Garu ba zos emer lanafshi Yeshua seichani vayomer elav ani Hashem. Should be zochet to all of this and it's Hashem to put it into practice. Hashem's help.